Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live. Every Friday night, the online crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Good to see
you,
Eric.
Good to see you, too, man. Still liking that new intro, that new animated intro.
Yeah.
Got Zelda looking at our all-in space. It's just exploding with fireworks. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, debuted that last week. Yep. On episode 200. So, yeah, it's good to be here. Well, hello, Bowza. Bowza's here in the chat. Good to see you, Bowza. We got a few little things to talk about this week. Not a massive week in news. I'm kidding. There was an Indie World Showcase. So we have actually quite a lot to talk about. But, Eric, we do have one very important thing to do before we get into that.
Yes. We know a few people in our lives who themselves could all qualify as being the one more thing in an Indie World Showcase. They all happen to be our patrons.
That's right. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. A bunch of wonderful friends and supporters who support us over there. And we like to thank them at the beginning of our show. So let's do just that, beginning with our golden banana tier. Thank you to Rob Yapel, Sean, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Alan, hashtag Look to the Cookie, Solo, SAZ, and Bob. Blah, blah, blah. Big thank you to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier, join their ranks, and get a bunch of exclusive content while you're at it. But moving into our Triforce tier. Do you think Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy mod squad, thank you, Shy Guy, Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, the Don Rob, Foolish Fuji, and the legend himself.
The Hollow Knight Silk Song of the All-In World. Legendary, having never been seen before. Uncle Randy.
I can at least confirm that Uncle Randy is real.
Yes.
I can confirm that. unlike Hollow Knight's Silk Song, which was not at this Indie World Showcase, of course. We don't need to put the cart in front of the horse too much about that. That did not happen.
No.
Realistically, I mean, like, that was never gonna happen. We all kept our clown makeup, you know, kind of to the side, but that was never going to actually happen.
Wah, wah. That's not to say that, there weren't a few things in that show worth talking about, but, I mean, is it time? Should we just jump into it? Yes, let's talk about it.
Let's do it. I've got it pulled up here, on stream so that we can just, you know, kind of go through this thing now, point by point.
Now it just looks like we're streaming with the developers of the first game.
Yeah, so they open up the show with Little Kitty Big City.
Yes, Stray is finally on Nintendo. Oh, it's not Stray?
No, it isn't Stray.
Oh, man. It's
better than Stray.
It's better than Stray. Better than Stray. Big words. Yeah, I mean, I've been really looking forward to, you know what, I predicted it was going to happen. It hasn't happened. You know what? I've got my own clown makeup sitting around here somewhere. I've been wanting Stray to come. And I'll admit, I had a little duplicity in my heart when I first saw this game. Because it maybe it's just my disappointment at Stray Nut. But it gave me initially kind of this feel of, we have Stray at home. But the more I looked at this game, the more I kind of fell for it.
I was going to say, you're crazy. I think this game looks awesome.
I've come around to way
more interested in this than Stray. Way more. And I haven't played Stray, and this does look like it's taking like some cues, you know, from Stray's. It's, you know, it's a cat in a big open environment.
Exactly. But this is so easy to make the comparison just because of that alone. But yeah, it's so much more than that.
It's just like the vibes of it, the humor, the color, the mischief, you know, that you can get into. Like, this is way more up my alley than Stray. Like, Stray is a very like serious. Yeah, there you go. It was unintentional, but Stray is so much more like serious and dark and grim, and like, I'm not about that life when it comes, especially when it comes to cats. Like, I just want to have fun. I just want, like, this looks like this year's little gator game to me. You can make people trip over you. it looks awesome. And it's coming very soon. It's coming May 9th.
Yeah, we're just like 3 weeks away from this game at this point. And you know what? I feel like a copycat now because Nintendvania also made this comparison. But yeah, I saw this, and you know, once I actually gave the trailer a try, I was getting, yes, Stray vibes, but also like massive Untitled Goose Game vibes, just because of being able to run around these people and just immediately causing mischief, doing whatever you want, the kind of mission-based gameplay. You can see right there on screen the mission-based gameplay that seems to be almost random in terms of the things that the game's asking you to do. But yeah, it just looks like it's going to be a lot of fun ultimately. And I think it's definitely going to, for those who have been wanting Stray on Nintendo Switch, this game, I think, will more than scratch that itch.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if you're looking for, you know, open world cat game, then yeah. I mean, but, you know, this doesn't have like the cyberpunk world building of Stray. Dodging
drones or anything like that. But
no,
I think ultimately just like the big draw of Stray, yes, it was in this kind of dystopian environment, but just this open world cat game idea, I think for a lot of people was, you know, the big draw. And here we have a much more, I think, kind of family-friendly, accessible version of that, which arguably is where a genre like this kind of should have started.
I'm way more into this personally, and I'm very excited to just see what the world has, the, you know, little collectibles that you see, the hats and stuff, and just, you know, it just looks like fun. Like, it just looks like a wholesome sort of like fun time. I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, we don't have long to wait. It comes out here in like 3 weeks. So we saw that it went gold, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, there's a part of me that was like, maybe this could be a shadow drop, but, but it wasn't. We did get a couple shadow drops. We'll get to those, but yeah, this is still coming very, very soon. And really, you know, this, I think, was a great way to kick off the show, because one thing that this Indie World Showcase did that I think stands above a lot of other Indie World Showcases was this was a very focused Indie World Showcase. The vast majority of the games shown are releasing within like 4 months. And I really liked that. I really liked how this was a window in like the next 4 months or so of like what we can expect from the world of indies on Nintendo Switch versus like, let's announce something that's coming out, you know, in mid 2025, you know. I was very pleasantly surprised by that. So yeah, pretty cool. Good way to open the show. I know you're excited about this next game that they showed, though. This came out of complete left field. Nobody had this on their bingo card. Nobody knew what the deal was with this. Yars Rising?
Yeah. So, turns out Atari and WayForward have been working together on a new Metroidvania, which is an official follow-up to Atari's legendary Yars Revenge game. And, I mean, it's giving me huge Metroid vibes. It's giving me, you know, kind of huge, well, I mean, it's WayForward, so I guess the Shantae and the Mummy Demastered vibes are pretty well expected. But yeah, you've got this young girl who has like a Yars tattoo on her arm, and she apparently has some kind of Yars butterfly-esque alter ego that she can pseudo transform into or something. And as you can see there, there's like, she's got a gun that she can use. She's got, there's stealth sections, stealth opportunities. She's cracking through a door right there using some type of mechanic. So it looks like there's a lot that can be done in this game. But the fact that it's an actual factual, and yeah, there you've got like a Yars style shoot 'em up section as part of maybe a computer hacking game, it looks to be. But yeah, this one kind of blew me away. I did not have on any of my bingo cards, I did not have a Yars Revenge sequel coming from WayForward.
Yeah, nobody did. This is a totally like out of left field announcement. And yeah, it looks cool. It's really, I do like the, I like that main character. I guess her name is Emmy.
Yeah.
I like the character. I like the visual design of it. Admittedly, I do think the movement looks a little stiff, but there's time to polish that stuff up. It's very possible. This is one of the few games that did just kind of get a vague 2024 date, so we don't know necessarily when this is coming, but yeah, I love like the visual style of it. The whole idea, the conceit behind it, I think is cool.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
And for me, another one of the big kind of green flags for Yars Rising is after the game was announced at the Indie World Showcase, Adam Tierney, a gentleman that we've actually had on the show before, the director of the River City Girls games, he came out and specifically said that he had been deeply involved in the development of this title. And I mean, the man puts together some pretty quality games, so... I'm hoping that that's just a sign of the quality of Yars Rising.
Yeah, all the way forward teams are really good. They're all really good. This is James Montagna and his team, who, you know, did stuff like Vitamin Connection, who did stuff like the recent Advance Wars Reboot Camp. So like all it's going to be, I'm pretty confident that this is going to be solid. I'm looking forward to seeing more. You know, wish we had a better idea of when it was coming out beyond just vaguely this year, but this was a cool kind of surprise. It's a good like 1-2 punch of like, here is, you know, a soon release date for a anticipated indie game like Little Kitty Big City. Here's something that you would have never seen coming.
Here's a bonkers reveal. Yeah.
So really, really cool. This next game they showed, to be honest, this is the, what is this called? Like Refined Self, the personality test game. This looks really interesting. I don't really know what to make of it though, because it looks like it's kind of a light adventure game, light RPG sort of thing with the end goal of determining like your personality type. It's very strange.
I don't know. Like, I mistook it for a playdate game at first, frankly. But I guess, yeah, the big mechanic, the big marketing point, the big talking point from this trailer is the fact that all the decisions that you make tie into this idea of what personality you have and the different personalities that you, you know, are able to unlock or that you get for your character have, you know, or come along with different stats and even different abilities. So rather than just, I guess, picking a class at the beginning of a, you know, an RPG, say in something like Fallout, you are able to, through your own choices, determine your character stat growth and abilities, which is kind of cool. Although outside of that, when it comes to the actual gameplay, admittedly, of all the games that were shown off in this showcase, this one is the one that I think kind of failed to really grab me the most, but it's not something that I've written off, but just of all the games in the indie world, this one I think is slightly forgettable, if I'm being a little mean.
I don't think it's forgettable. I just think I don't know what it is. Like I wish I had a better sense of what it actually is.
Yeah.
I think the visuals are beautiful. Like I love the way it looks, and I just don't like, I don't know what it is that I'm doing. Like if like the end result, like we get plenty of little vignettes, we get plenty of like character moments and dialogue and little shots of like mini games and stuff like this. But like, you know, is the end goal really just to determine like my personality type and then like compare it to my friends? Like that seems kind of weird and interesting. And it's also a quite Japanese concept. You know, there are a lot of old Japanese games that are like personality type games that are like love testers, you know, and stuff like this. So it could be that it's going for that sort of thing. And I don't know. I am interested in the idea just because it is so strange, but I just wish that this trailer did a better job of illustrating to me like what the actual game is. So I don't know. We'll see. It's coming this summer. Refined Self, the personality test game, coming this summer from Playism. So I guess we will see. Eric, the next game that we saw was actually Shadow Drop, a game that we've seen at like wholesome game showcases before. Spellgarden Games Shadow Drop Sticky Business, the kind of like Etsy store sticker business. Basically, game.
Yeah, it's an Etsy store sim for all intents and purposes. Yeah, this game is twofold. Has you designing your own custom stickers using apparently a couple hundred different, you know, designs and icons and effects and everything like that. But, you know, if you're not super really into the artistic side of things, it's also a business simulator. So you'll get these requests in from customers talking about the types of products that they want. And then using the different, again, icons and images at your disposal, you have to create based on the customer's recommendation, based on the customer's request. You have to create specific types of stickers and then, you know, go into the whole business management sim. You've got to deal with your finances and apparently like even your shipping and you know, materials and supplies and stuff like that. So it's unique. I'll give it that. And it looks like even outside of the customer request, it is going to give you quite a bit of freedom to kind of express yourself with a lot of these stickers as well. And especially with stuff like, you know, emojis and Discord emotes and stuff like that. I think this is a good time to release a game like this. A lot of people, I think, have kind of gotten used to expressing themselves with images kind of like this. So giving people the ability to have a little bit more agency in creating stuff like this. I think this is, while it might not necessarily check all my boxes, I do think it is a smart game for the 2024 audience.
Yeah, I think it's cute. I think it's a cute idea. It also did drop with some DLC as well, and you can get it in a bundle too. So, yeah, really cool. And I think it's a great name. Sticky Business, I think, is a really good name.
I know you're a sucker for good names.
Yeah, I video game titles are important, man. And a lot of people don't put enough importance on them. And I just, you know, I do think it's a neat idea. I don't know if it's necessarily my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I do like, it looks like it is a well-made, well-considered thing, for people who are into this. There are going to be people for whom this is like one of their favorite games of the year. It looks like there's a lot of depth. I did wishlist it. If I see it on a good sale at some point down the line, I'll probably, you know, pick it up, 'cause I can see this being kind of a cozy, you know, fun time.
That's what I was going to say. The second I saw it, I was like, Lockleth is going to be streaming this next weekend or something.
She might, yeah. So it's, yeah, it looks like it's kind of a cozy, fun time, and I do like the vibes of it. The music is actually insane. Matt was sharing some of the music. His wife was playing it, and the music in this game is, like, crazy good.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's neat. It's a neat little announcement, and yeah, you know, Shadow Drop is always a good thing, you know, in a showcase like this. It drums up hype, and this was one of two, like, full game Shadow Drops.
Yep.
And I think that allowed it to kind of stand out a little bit. So, yeah, good for them, man.
Yeah, good for them. Pretty cool. I hope it's good. I do like, even though, again, it doesn't check a lot of my boxes, even just looking at, like, a lot of the little effects and the little flourishes that they put into the game, the way that, you know, the way that apparently the sentient mailbox kind of reacts and emotes whenever a letter goes into it. Just, again, those little touches that, because I've always said this, you know, anybody can make a good game, but it's the details that'll make something great. And a lot of those small little details, those little bounces that these characters do when you click on them, or, you know, the way things interact when something, you know, interacts with them, those can really take a game to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cute. And again, that and its DLC live now. This one was really exciting to see the next thing, the release date announcement and demo Shadow Drop of Anton Blast, which is a game that we've had on our radar for a long time. We when the game was first, like, kicking up with its Kickstarter and stuff, like, we had the studio creative director Tony Grayson on our podcast. We've showcased various versions of the demo here on the YouTube channel, and to have it now, it's coming November 12th, so it has a release date finally, and to be able to play it with a free demo Shadow Dropping on the Nintendo Switch, which Eric has already put up a video for on our YouTube channel. Very, very exciting news.
Yes, but I think you kind of undersold Tony there. He is the creative director. He's also the voice of Anton, Mr. Happy Hour himself. But yes, We have a video up of
and the composer
and the composer. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Tony's awesome, great friend of the show, and really excited for him that you know this game's actually finally seeing the finish line. But yes, again, we put up a video of the demo up on our YouTube channel. I may or may not have struggled through it a little bit. There are a couple different levels that you can play in the demo, kind of the starter stage like Boiler City, and then a tougher challenge, as the demo likes to say, Cinnamon Springs. And I showed off Cinnamon Springs in the video, but I can say at least in the demo, Anton Blast plays very receptively. I love how snappy everything feels, because there's a lot that you can do in this game. The game is deceptively the game is deceptively nuanced in terms of your traversal and the way that you even basically navigate these stages. We and, you know, many people on the internet have compared the game to, you know, your Wario Lands of the world. And you could also make a ton of comparisons to something like a Pizza Tower, which a lot of people are also hoping to see at this presentation. But like, this game really does have such a strong flavor of its own. It really feels like I went back to the 90s and I'm drinking a beer made out of hot sauce.
It's a crazy explosive.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot happening all the time,
but it controls really well with everything that's going on. It still finds a way to control very satisfyingly well. So props to them for that. I was concerned about how the game was going to play on Nintendo Switch. And I can say, I am, you know, while I may have died a few times, that was more my issue than the game's.
Yeah, no, it's the thing about Anton Blast is there's a lot of control nuance. Like you can do a lot. It's the kind of, it has a skill ceiling where in order to play the game well, like, you're going to have to learn a lot of the little nuances of playing it. You're going to have to learn the clutch system, the way that you can kind of bounce, you know, with your hammer on the ground and stuff. Like, there's a lot going on. And the game is very rewarding to sort of like learn the loop of. It's also got a lot of sort of like branching paths in its levels. There's a lot of depth in this game, and I'm really excited. There's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that has gone into this game, and I'm just excited that it's finally got a date. We're coming up to the finish line in November, going to be playing a bunch of Anton Blast. And it's cool to see people get exposed to it for the first time.
Yeah.
Because of this, because like we've had this on our radar for like 2+ years now, but there are a lot of people who are learning about Anton Blast for the first time because of this spot. So this was huge for them. And I'm very happy for, the fine folks at Summit Sphere and for Tony and stuff. And, everybody should play the demo. If this looks cool to you at all, there's a free demo now on your Nintendo Switch, that you can play. Yeah. So,
but in terms of just learning how to navigate the game, learning the ins and outs of the game's mechanics, the dash and the jump and the bounce, and even the various different types of like kind of special abilities that you'll get like this little tornado ability, this little like bouncing ball ability, but just learning the ins and outs and kind of learning to speak the game's language essentially kind of reminded me a little bit of Penny's Big Breakaway from earlier on in this year. But frankly, I think this game controls better.
Well, we'll see. I'm looking forward to playing it, man. By the way, there's a quick shot in Cinnamon Springs. There's a little piece of graffiti of a dog.
Oh yeah, right there. Yeah.
That is Tony's dog.
Yep.
That's Tony's dog Polar. So that's pretty funny. And Polar's named after the Crash Bandicoot character. There's a lot of Crash Bandicoot flavor in here too. And that's another thing, like everybody was so like, you know, I've seen so many people being like, we have Pizza Tower at home, and that is not at all what this is. Like, this has got such a different vibe. Like, yes, both games are kind of like Wario Land inspired, and both of them have kind of like similar Wario Land, you know, DNA and structure, where it is about a lot of forward momentum, reaching a point, and then backward momentum.
Yep.
So, like, that is true, and it's got, they both have boss fights and things like this, But like Anton Blast is much more about like, yeah, little tiny control nuances that that go into like the way that you carve your way through these levels. And it's got a lot more like that clutch mechanic is like from a racing game sort of thing. Like you build speed, kind of trigger it, build more speed. Like there's so much going on, man.
I would love to see a Sonic the Hedgehog game made by Summit Sphere. That's all I'm saying.
yeah, it's got a lot of influences. So I just think that people who are writing this game off as like Pizza Tower at home, you should not be.
Yeah,
just play the demo for yourself.
Yeah, so it's really, really cool. You guys definitely check it out. Again, coming in November.
Yeah, can't wait. November 12th, demo available now. The next game they showed could not be more different from Anton Blast. this game, Valley Peaks, which is, it's like a first person, a short hike.
Kind of, yeah.
Where you play as a frog licking everything with your tongue. So it looks kind of interesting. I like the visual style.
Yeah, I thought that was like just a crudely animated arm at first, and then I realized what it was, and it was slightly disturbing. But yeah, it definitely got some really strong A Short Hike vibes, like a first person A Short Hike. But I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. A Short Hike is a fantastic game,
that
you and I both love. Yeah, so and it looks like it's got a lot of different things that you can kind of get into. It's not just about the climbing. We saw a little boat racing mini game right there. So I mean, if this is going to be a Short Hike 2024, I mean, yes, please. And now, we didn't get a demo for this one. So in terms of how that swinging mechanic and how the tongue lashing mechanic is really going to feel and work in this game, I think is going to be a big point of the game's success overall. But I am still really excited because just like you, just like many other people, I did get a lot of Short Hike vibes.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'll keep my eye on this one. This is another one that is not a sort of like near future. Like we don't have a hard date for this just yet, but it does look cool. It does look interesting. And I think that's another thing that these indie showcases are quite good at is kind of introducing players to something to kind of like, okay, like I have that on my radar now, you know, sort of thing. So yeah, Valley Peaks, that was cool to see. The next game is one that I've been personally looking forward to for a while now. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes from Simogo. I love the way they start off the trailer with like from the creators of Year Walk, Device 6, and then Sinar Wild Hearts.
Yeah.
Like, me and two other people played Year Walk and Device 6. Nobody knows what Year Walk and Device 6 is. You lead with Sayonara Wild Hearts. I love all of their games. They're one of my favorite indie devs, and I've been excited for this for a while.
Yeah, and this trailer is, I mean, I really feel like this is one of my favorite gameplay trailers of the past several years, because you get just enough, just these quick snippets that still find a way to give you a really good idea of the types of things that you're going to be playing through and experiencing in this game, while keeping, I think, just the appropriate amount of mystery from a game that looks to be kind of a psychological thriller in the first place, in which mystery is going to play a major part of the experience. But there's still just a ton of different things that it looks like you're going to be able to do in Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, and just seeing all the different disparate pieces of, you know, the puzzles that you're going to solve and the different types of gameplay and the maps that you're going to traverse and all the different implements that you're going to be able to interact with. I was super interested when this game first got announced, I think late last year, but this immediately makes this a day one for me. This trailer is amazing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, Simoga, I love them, and I've enjoyed all of their games that I've played. However, like, this is the most gameplay-forward game they've ever produced. You know, a lot of their games are sort of like more story forward and less gameplay forward. Like, this has got, just in this trailer, I mean, you have these kind of like, you know, locked camera perspective, classic Resident Evil style looking, you know, sort of things. You have maze puzzles and like logic puzzles and like locks and combinations and like you know, almost like adventure game dialogue stuff. You've got these like little pixelated like moments. Like there's so much going on that they've crammed into this thing. It's really impressive how many, you know, if they can maintain the pace that this trailer is conveying in a satisfying way throughout, this is going to be a really, really special game. And to be honest, like, I did not think when they showed this, I was like, okay, like, yeah, but it's cool to see it again. I didn't think it was coming this soon. It's coming May 16th. Yeah,
less than a month.
Yeah. Very, very excited for this one.
I am too. I've always been a huge fan of Annapurna. I broke down and got that huge super collector's edition, like the 12 games in one Annapurna collection. I mean, which basically has just nothing but bangers on it. We're talking Donut County. We're talking Sayonara Wild Hearts, Neon White, and games like that. So at this point, for me, just seeing Annapurna's logo is enough to get me excited. But again, the trailer, how amazing this trailer was, and to end it by saying, oh yeah, by the way, this game's coming out in less than a month. Because even a couple of days ago, when it premiered on the 17th, I mean, yeah. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes is probably going to be something I'm going to lose some sleep over next month. So May 16th.
Yeah. Can't wait. Cannot wait. And Sayonara Wild Hearts is a masterpiece.
It's so great.
Everybody should play that game.
Just for Queen Latifah. Okay.
The next thing they showed was a game that had a demo shadow drop. This game, Europa. I have already put up a gameplay video on the channel here showing off the game in motion on Nintendo Switch. And we start off the little spotlight here with the game's creative director, who actually watched the video too and commented on the video, which was kind of cool. So shout outs to him. But he talks about how it's going to be this meditative experience. He highlights like the sense of flow that he's hoping to achieve with the game. And yeah, you know, even though we don't know exactly when it's coming, it is still, you know, like having a demo shadow drop so that you can put your hands on it and see exactly, you know, kind of how that stuff works in motion, how the game runs. Cause like watching this trailer initially, I was like, how is this going to run on Switch? You know, the worlds just look so beautiful and wide open.
And
the game runs well on Switch. So I'd encourage people to watch the video that I put up. I encourage people to play the demo themselves. It is an interesting game. We talked about this a little bit in more detail in tomorrow's episode of the main show. But like, I don't know if I'm quite sold on the gameplay loop of it. But I'm going to be interested to see how it all works in the context of the full game.
Yeah. I could sit here and go into yet another one of my kind of long-winded explanations that all it does is just repeat whatever you just said. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to reiterate, yes, we go into this in quite a bit more detail in tomorrow's yeah. episode of the show.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, like it is interesting. And you can tell that there's a lot of passion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, going into this game. So I'm going to be curious to see like the full game when the full game comes out. I'm definitely going to have my eyes on it and see how it shakes out.
Yeah.
Coming later this year, demo again was shadow dropped. Eric, I know you were excited about this next game, a new Turtles game.
I am. Dude, man, we've gotten some really quality TMNT content on the Nintendo Switch over the past couple of years. Obviously, Shredder's Revenge is amazing. Obviously, the Cowabunga Collection is amazing. And I really dig just the look. This reminds me of like the early 2000s TMNT show. Because they released a ton of games similar to this. They released a ton of like four-player co-op, isometric kind of dungeon crawling experiences like this. But I don't know, man, there's just something about this one. I know it's already been a mobile game, but it's just speaking to me, man. I really dig the game's visual style. I like that kind of hard-lined but still really brightly colorful visual style, just like you see there. It's got a very arcadey feel to it. Again, four-player co-op, and it's, you know, say what you will about the industry being oversaturated with roguelikes, but I mean, roguelikes have, especially ones that are well done, have a ton of replayability. So I'm looking forward to this being a game that I can jump into, you know, time and time and time again. You got Leatherhead right there looking amazing. You've got Rocksteady and Bebop looking amazing right there. So I'm just the thought of who else I could run into and what other locations, TMNT locations I could run into, just makes me really excited because, again, after the past couple of years, the really cool games that we've had on offer, I'm hoping this is just yet another one of those.
Yeah, it's coming in July, so you don't have long to wait. A little weird that there was no hard date, that it was just July. Like, if you know it's July, why not tell me it's July, you know, 16th or whatever? Like, it, you know, July, narrow it down a little bit more. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, I think it looks neat. It is like, to me, I got like strong Marvel Ultimate Alliance vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if that's what this basically is, if this is basically just a roguelike, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Hades, you know, sort of thing with that turtles. I can play with three friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm down for that. As long as the gameplay is solid, exactly. Then, like, I'm okay with that for a long time. So, yeah, looks neat. TMNT Splintered Fate. I guess it has been out on mobile for a little while, I guess. Like Apple Arcade, I think.
I think so. But, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited. Looks really cool. So I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping this summer could be really cool.
Yeah. Next thing that we showed was Cat Quest 3, which also got a demo shadow dropped. And there's also a video of that that I put up on the YouTube channel playing through the demo. This game is awesome. This game is so, like, it's a very simple game, but it's, yes, like, very, very polished, full of cat puns and, you know, pirate vibes. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I went from not really knowing or caring at all about Cat Quest to being, like, interested in playing this when it comes out August 8th.
Yeah. This is yet another game. I've also played the demo. This is yet another game that we go into quite a bit of detail in tomorrow's full episode of All In on. But here, I wanted to say something specific about the game here because, weirdly, the first time that I watched this Indie World Showcase, to be completely honest, I came away from the presentation kind of meh because we'll talk about the other Shadow Drop here in just a few seconds, but I didn't know if the Shadow Drop games were like super exciting. I didn't know overall if the show really stuck a lot of the announcements. So I don't know, maybe just the fact that I was kind of burned by Not Stray, I wondered if that had maybe painted my opinions a little bit. So I went back and I specifically rewatched the presentation right after I had watched it. And weirdly, the whole reason I bring any of this up is this is the game that kind of turned me around on the entire presentation. And I'll tell you why. Because we saw Cat Quest 3 just last week at the III Initiative with no release date. Mm-hmm. We saw this game a week ago with no release date. And now here we have it in the Indie World Showcase. It does have a release date. And that made me realize, with maybe one exception, every game shown off in this presentation was either a reveal, a shadow drop, or announced a release date.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It wasn't just it's like, hey, we know you guys are waiting. Here's just another gameplay trailer that hopefully you can stay excited for. No, every game shown off here had new information to announce. Every game in this presentation had new information to announce. And I reappraised the situation very quickly. And all of a sudden I was like, that's really solid. If you're going to have a 20-minute presentation, and every title in your presentation is going to have new info for people, that's a good show. And it could be a similar situation with the Turtles that we just talked about. Maybe they have to wait for another presentation in a couple weeks, who knows, to be able to officially announce their like hard set release date. Maybe it's the same situation as Cat Quest. I don't know, but possibly. But weirdly, this was the game that kind of made me realize just how good of a show this was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was a very like well considered Indie World Showcase. We've had plenty of Indie World Showcases in the past that are sort of just like announcing stuff with like wild abandon,
yeah,
with no like hard information about any of it. And yeah, like I think it is easy to look at this on the surface, especially if you are not the target demo for like the shadow drops or something, and kind of come away feeling a little disappointed. But yeah, I think you're right. Objectively, this was just a very well put together thing. And Cat Quest is very fun.
Yeah.
Like having played the demo, it is very fun.
Yeah.
So,
and again, okay. more impressions tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one is the second shadow drop, the 1-2 punch, so to speak, of the shadow drop. So we had Sticky Business earlier. We were introduced to this adorable husband and wife duo. I don't know if it's Likey, I think, studios, and, they are the team behind this game Stitch, which is a puzzle game about handmade embroidery. And they sort of introduced the concept. This was also another one that I guess has been on Apple Arcade for a little while.
I guess so. Yeah.
And Bowser in the chat says, I'm playing Stitch right now.
Nice.
So very cool. I still need to pick it up myself, but I am excited to, yeah, I am excited to play this. It does look really cool. And, they're adorable. Like I always love it when the developers come in to introduce these kind of like new games and new concepts. Cause like, even though this was already on, you know, Apple Arcade, I had never heard of it before.
It was neither.
New to me.
Yeah.
And it's a neat concept. It looks cool.
Yeah. Initially, like for quite a bit of this presentation, for quite a bit of them showing Stitch off, it just seemed like it was a very kind of laid back, very low impact, you know, design your own little embroidery. You know, you have these shapes that you can color in. It looked like a very straightforward color by numbers. But after a little while in the trailer, you realize that, no, it's actually a pretty interesting little puzzle game, because the different kind of color by numbers digits in there, they don't really give you a specific indication of where those colors need to go. It's just, you know, there are, you know, the color that this number is on is also touching, you know, if it's a number 4, you know, this and 3 other panels are this color. But you basically got to navigate the different patterns and the different stitches to find out essentially how it all fits together, given the numbers and given where they're at. I'm sure that was a terrible way to explain it. Hopefully, if you're watching the video, you know, it kind of clicks a little bit better. But once I realized what the game actually was, and that the fact that it's just an adorable stitching game being used as a filter for a deceptively interesting puzzle title, that's when I was really sold on it. I was kind of ready to pass on it, and then I really understood what the game was about, and then all of a sudden they went into just the ridiculous amount of content that's going to be on offer with this title, and I went from being basically a hard pass to a, when can I get this?
Yeah, well, when you can get it was immediately.
Yep.
So this is a cool shadow drop. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you want to see shadow dropped during your presentation, because yeah, it's a neat concept, and I think it kind of sells itself well to look at it, because yeah, initially I was kind of like, okay, like this is cute, but I don't know if this is for me. But then like you see it in motion and you kind of understand what the mechanic of the game is and what the kind of like loop of the puzzle gameplay is. And you're like, oh,
yep.
Like this looks like it could, you know, like in the same vein as like a daily Sudoku, yeah, or something like that, you know, like this can kind of work into your sort of like daily brain teaser stuff. I love that kind of thing. And the fact that this game has got so much content in it. I mean, they go into in the trailer like holiday themed puzzles and daily challenges and stuff and all kinds of accessibility options on offer,
yeah,
and different ways that you can play the game. There's a ton of stuff in this game, man.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, and yeah, again, just very cool. The sheer amount of content, because I've always been a fan of stuff like that. I used to be super hardcore into Brain Age, and I haven't really kind of had a game like that in a long time. And it seems like that's what this game is trying to be, a nice way to start your day off with something pleasant, something fun to look at, something to get some positive vibes going, but still something to kind of wake your mind up.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool. So this is one that I still need to pick up myself. But this is definitely I went from, in the course of this trailer, I went from being like, okay, to like, now I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to play this. This looks like a very cool and unique little puzzle game, which is, you know, I mean, look, there are a lot of puzzle games on the Nintendo Switch, so it's hard to stand out. And this one does.
Yeah.
So very, very cool. Well, before we get into the final announcement, we did get the classic little sizzle reel.
Of course.
Here. The first game shown in the sizzle reel is this one, Bzzzt.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
Which is
me?
Coming, Bzzzt, B-Z-Z-Z-T, which is already available on Steam. In fact, Shy Guy was kind of giving some impressions in the Discord about it. He says it's brutally difficult.
Nice.
And like he was like, this is like I haven't played a game this difficult since like Super Meat Boy. Like, it's very nice. Demanding. So this is coming. It's already out on PC, but it's coming to the Nintendo Switch this summer. I saw a lot of people like, this looks rad. Why did they, you know, relegate it to the sizzle reel? The sizzle reel is not the place where like game announcements go to die necessarily.
Chicory was in one of these sizzle reels. I mean.
Yeah, it's, well, sizzle reels, I think, are mostly for updates on known quantities. Like, because this is something that has already been available on Steam, this is just a quick hit of like, hey, you might already know that this exists, and so this is when you can get it on Switch.
Yeah.
And these things are also very curated, right, too? So, like, they have to think about where this stuff fits in. So, the fact that they stuck it in a sizzle reel does not mean that they're, you know, like dunking on it or whatever. Like, it's, you know, it's still in the showcase.
Yeah, it's still in the showcase. So. And they released the full trailer for it, you know, just like they did with everything. Yeah. You know, Nintendo of America YouTube channel released full trailers for all the different things. You know, they released a full trailer for Bzzz, you know,
Bzzzt, Bzzzt,
yeah, pretty soon after the presentation was done. But yeah, I saw the gameplay and I was kind of hoping that it was going to be really hard because, yeah, I was kind of getting those same vibes from it, and I don't know. There's not too many brutally difficult video games that I gravitate toward. I enjoy difficult games, but they've got to be fair. So I'll be very interested to see how much this game earns its difficulty.
Yeah, yeah, that's coming this summer, so we don't have too long to wait. But the next thing that was shown in our sizzle reel is Shim.
I'm so excited for this game.
I'm very excited for this. This did get a hard date, July 18th.
Yes.
And we first saw this, I don't know if it was like a
Day of the Devs, Games. I think.
You're right. Day of the Devs, that is what it was. So to finally kind of see that with a release date, July 18th, coming soon to the Nintendo Switch. I'm very excited for this. Really cool idea, like moving through the shadows of this world. Looks great.
Yeah, I've seen several games that kind of play with this idea of moving through the shadows, Lost in Shadows, Shady Part of Me, games like that. But I don't know, man, I really, really dig what this game is doing and how it's presenting a lot of these ideas. And ever since I first saw it, I've been basically just, I've had my eye on it. It's been on my radar, but here we have it in this sizzle reel. This is where the release date got announced. So,
yep.
This is what I was talking about when I said it could be a really good summer, because this is also coming out in the middle of July. And yeah, I think this should, especially if you're, you know, a puzzle adventure action indie fan, I think this should be a game that you have on your radar, because don't let the fact that this game was only shown off for 10, 15 seconds.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't let the fact that this game was only shown off for a few moments kind of disavow you of it. I heavily recommend checking out more trailers of Shim to get a really good feel of what this game's about. It's really cool.
Yeah, looks really cool. Another known quantity game that was stuck in the sizzle reel, Animal Well. Release date announcement May 9th. This is coming, and this game continues to look rad. This was revealed, I think, late last year, or maybe in the middle of last year, and it's coming to Nintendo Switch, and this is another one that is coming in May. So we have got no shortage of games to play in May. I love the visual style of this.
The visual style reminds me so much of something like a Pac-Man Championship Edition, with the way the colors just kind of splash across the screen.
It looks beautiful. I can't wait to play this in handheld on OLED. It's going to look beautiful on the OLED screen. That's fair. So I love the animation. I love the colors and the pixels, and it looks great. So
almost looks like it's exciting. A Metroidvania by way of Light Bright or something.
Yeah, it looks really neat, man. So very excited for that. That's coming May 9th. Duck Detective, The Secret Salami, coming May 23rd. Another May game. Yeah. That, by the way, is the same day as Paper Mario. So this looks really cool, though. I'm excited for Duck Detective. I auditioned for that game. Sadly, I guess this was my news that I didn't get the role, because the game's coming out soon. this looks great. I've been excited for this for a little while now.
Nice.
So
yeah, I'm interested in it too. I didn't know. You never told me you auditioned for that. So
they don't show him in the trailer. There's a little gator character that I auditioned for.
Nice.
They had a casting call for it and didn't get it. Womp womp. So, oh well. Another Crab's Treasure spotlighted here. This comes out next week on the 25th. We are very, very excited about this. The Crab Souls-like.
Yep.
And this looks awesome. And, we don't have long to wait. Again, this comes out at this point in just a few days. So it was cool to get it, kind of a one last highlight here. There's a part of me that wishes they had a Steam Next Fest demo. There's a part of me that wishes that they could have said, hey, there's a demo for it, but still, I mean, with the full game coming out so soon, who cares?
Yeah. But this is a game that, again, you and I have had on our radar for a very long time. The follow-up from Aggro Crab that, there's not much else to say. Comes out next week. Should be really, really fun. And we will probably have impressions for you next week in the episode.
We will. Yeah, we will. We'll have coverage for this game for sure. So stay tuned for another Crab's Treasure. Coming into the kind of one more thing here. this one, a lot of people came to this again looking for Silksong.
Silksong or Pizza Tower or something like that. Yeah, there were a lot of rumors flying around. But you know what? Similarly to Yars Rising, I don't know anybody that had this on their bingo card.
Me either. And for me, this is far more exciting than Pizza Tower or Silksong, personally. We are getting SteamWorld Heist 2, which, for anybody who's been listening to the show for any length of time, SteamWorld Heist, the first one, is one of my favorite indie games. And to get a sequel to it that, it looks incredible. And it looks like it's just expanding upon the already very deep strategy gameplay of the first game and adding this kind of open sea exploration that wasn't present in the first game. All of these different party members. It looks amazing. And it was so cool to not only get the announcement, but to get the release date of it. It's coming in less than 4 months. It's coming on August 8th. And, we don't have long to wait at all for it. And, I could not be more excited. This was about as hype as a, one more thing could have been for me personally.
Yeah, I knew after I saw this, I had to check on you because, we've done an indie showcase on the first SteamWorld Heist, which was basically just me, talking to you while you gushed about the first SteamWorld Heist. And we talked about the tactical gameplay, the different hats, the party members, and everything that they're really kind of showing off in earnest here in this trailer. However, if SteamWorld Heist isn't something that you are personally familiar with, and I didn't get the same amount of hype that Seth did from having played the first one. And if you're like me and you are, some heathen who hasn't found time to play through the first one, Thunderful has made that very easy right now.
Yeah, you can get the first one on sale right now for $2 on the eShop.
And that's with the DLC.
With the DLC. That's the Ultimate Edition. That's an insane deal. If anything in this trailer looks even remotely cool to you, you should rush to the eShop like right now and spend the $2, because I love SteamWorld Heist so much. It's my favorite SteamWorld game, and that's a series in which I have enjoyed thoroughly every game in it. And Heist is my favorite. And this is one that, like, Thunderful would put out like surveys of like what you want to see from the future of the SteamWorld series.
Heist.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, Heist 2. And so for this to get announced, this is a huge, huge deal for me. And I cannot wait. This is going to consume my life when it comes out. They said, you know, SteamWorld Heist, the first one, is a fairly bite-sized experience. You can play through the core game in like 10 hours. With the DLC, you could probably add another like 2 to 5 hours if you want to go through and 100% everything, clear all the missions, get all the hats. Thank God the hats are returning in fine form. It's one of my favorite things about the base game, the first one. This one though, like having like skill trees that you can upgrade on people, like it looks so much more in depth. They said like the hour count of this is going to be between like 30 and 40 hours.
Did they really? So, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. So I am very, very excited. This was a great one more thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew, like, even though I hadn't played it and I wasn't as up on the hype, the SteamWorld franchise is something that has been gaining so much momentum over the past few years. They have, like, we just got SteamWorld Build, and they've got even more SteamWorld projects coming down the pipeline. You and I did an indie showcase before on SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2. Like SteamWorld's a big property at this point, especially for Thunderful. So to see like a really cool new game announcement and to see that it's coming out in 4 months and to see that, you know, like an announcement with a release date is a really, really big thing.
Yeah. And like separately after the announcement, after the showcase, Steam Powered Giraffe, which is an indie band that is kind of in this steampunk thing. They did music for the first game. They're coming back for this one. So it's just like check, check, check. I could not be more excited for this. So,
And yes, you heard that right. The band is called Steam Powered Giraffe.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that band. And I love this game. So I can't wait to have my army of robots with, you know, like Mexican fruit, you know, fruit hats on. So, very, very cool. But that was it. That was the Indie World Showcase. Lots of stuff to be excited about, from that presentation, man.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Yeah. Really quickly. I love that logo too, with the two from the SteamWorld Heist 2 looking like an anchor that, you know,
so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great logo. Yeah. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get my hands on that one, man. Cool. Well, I think moving on from the Indie World Showcase to another thing that happened this week, mm-hmm. pretty exciting stuff. Let's talk a little bit about Endless Ocean Luminous, because we got some new info on that.
Do I really have to talk about it? Do you really going to twist my arm?
You got to force you. Twist your arm.
But yes, yeah. We got a massive, like nearly 6 minute long overview trailer for Endless Ocean. And Nintendo really is trying to make this a thing. They understand this is not a Smash Brothers. This is not a Zelda. This is not a Mario. This is probably not going to sell 10 million copies. As a matter of fact, if this sells 1 million copies, I will be surprised. However,
right.
You know, if you are even remotely into, if you have ever had any interest in a more laid back kind of video game experience, I do urge you to check this game out, because especially in this overview trailer that we got this past week, they showed off a ton of stuff. They showed off a ton of environments. They actually brought, I mentioned in a previous episode, several places that I enjoyed diving through in the original Endless Ocean back on the Wii. And they showed off like all of those different environments in this trailer, the sunken ship, the abyss, the tall sea reefs and everything like that. And they specifically talked about how it's going to be different, how the area is going to be different every time you dive down, which is going to add a ton of interest and variety and replayability to it. They went into pretty big detail about the multi-person dives, the fact that you're going to be able to dive with 30 different people. You can dive with randos, or there is going to be a code that you can share with your friends so that you can actually allow them to dive into your specific part of the ocean, into your specifically generated part of the ocean, and dive around. It looks like kind of weirdly you appear in different spots. However, once you find yourself, there's a lot of really interesting things that you can do together. You can instantly transport to each other's spots. You can specifically tag a ton of things within the environment that all of your, as they call them, diving buddies will then see. So if you find like a special variant version of a, you know, one of the over 500 species that they are lauding for this game, then you can tag that, and then your friends that you're diving with can go find that. Or if you find like a relic or an artifact or basically anything, if you find a great white shark and you want to tag that. So a lot of different, a lot of interesting, really fun things that I think is going to, I think it's going to make this game a really interesting one to play with friends. I was very fine just running through the Endless Ocean myself, but with all the different ways that they're implementing multiplayer and all the different ways that they're allowing gamers to interact with each other in this game, I think is going to make this make Endless Ocean Luminous a good pick for all-in game night some weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you heard that right. All 30 Endless Ocean players can play together at the same time.
All 30 of the people
that are going to buy it.
You know what? I'm going to buy 31 copies of this game just to get people to be quiet about that. But yes, I've already said I know how niche this is. I'd be surprised if it hits a million copies. But still, I'm
excited for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to link up with the community. Fulia here in the chat makes the point. I have Endless Ocean pre-ordered. However, I'm not sure how well the Switch will hold up to 30 players online. It worries me a bit.
That is fair.
That's true. It's fair. Bowser says if it runs fine, I'll get it. We'll see. I think that it would be smart of them.
You will have firsthand accounts of that, I promise you.
We're going to play it. Yeah. We're going to play it, and we'll report and stuff.
But if you want to hold off until that, I completely understand. I do get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it too. I think it would have been smart of them to do like a stress test demo or something, to do like a
beta server or load. Something, yeah.
Yeah, grab the demo plan. I mean, look, the game comes out in 2 weeks. It's possible they might still do something like that. If they were going to, I imagine they would have done it in concert with releasing this overview trailer, so I don't expect that they will.
Yeah.
But I think that would have been smart for them to kind of prepare for server load. Who knows? We'll see. But I will say, you know, playing Devil's Advocate a little bit, Nintendo's online stuff has been really solid.
Yeah.
For a couple of years now. So
yeah, we covered a story while back where they like completely changed out all of their multiplayer servers for basically everything. And honestly, since we covered that story, a lot of the stuff that I've played online has been very good. The Smash Brothers online connection improved tremendously right after that story came out. All of my interactions online with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe have played very well. Most of my online games that I've played on the Nintendo Switch play really, really solidly. Now, again, 30 players simultaneously in a dive like this is going to be a unique experience, so we'll have to get back with that.
Yeah, and I also don't know if I'm ever going to play with 30 people.
Yeah.
You know? Bowser says laughs in Splatoon. That's true. I mean, to be fair, when you can connect in Splatoon, it runs just fine. And when you get a party together, it's like all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's fair. Splatoon 3 has issues. I still have connectivity issues with Splatoon 3. So who knows? We'll have to see. This is also going to have a fraction of the online player base of something like a Splatoon 3.
That's fair.
So I'm a little bit more confident in this one, you know, holding up a bit better.
Yeah, that's one thing about Endless Ocean Luminous is the servers probably aren't going to be nearly as stressed as some of Nintendo's other games.
No, and like Nintendo, to their credit, a lot of these shots here, there's like, you know, 10 people probably in the shot. So like they are showing off a lot of people playing together online. It looks like it runs okay. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll report back.
Yeah.
And yeah, as Bowser points out too, it also does not need fast communication. So because this is Endless Ocean, this is not like a twitchy shooter.
No.
You know, this is not something that needs precision. So
no, this is not a game that's going to be made unplayable by 5-frame lag, right, or something like that.
Right. Fully says, let's go all in to the ocean together. That's
yes.
Right. And, yeah, Eric and I, at the very least, will be playing it together online, and we'll, you know, if anybody else in the community is playing it, we'll certainly set up some all-in dives, and that'll be really fun. I do want to point out that the one, like, really big new piece of information that was kind of shared in this overview trailer was this concept of, like, missions.
Thank you.
Which is cool, and we talked about this a week or two ago, I think. Like, hey, like, please give me some kind of structure, you know, to this. I don't want it to just be like open-ended, let me just explore with nothing to do. Having an actual mission-based structure of a pointed thing for players to go and kind of rally around is really cool. It also does have a story mode, which we see a shot of in the menu. So yeah, check. Very cool. The stuff that we wanted to see from this trailer showed us.
Yeah, they had been really pushing this multiplayer stuff, but I said very explicitly, I want to see what type of single player content or even mission based content that the game is going to have on offer. And like Seth just said, they did show a little bit of that. Now, in the form of like some of the missions that they showed seem to be kind of multiplayer friendly, I guess these kind of glitching out versions of some of the fish will start appearing, and you've got to go find them. And I guess if you find and log all of the glitching species, then something will happen. A boss glitchy thing will appear.
Yeah. It says like, so it says top priority mission. Yeah. They have like these kind of like, yeah, these kind of glitchy biometric signs. You collect the data on, you know, whatever, like in this one, you need 7 of them. And then like a special, like ancient fish, you know, will appear. So looks really cool.
Like, Pat there in the chat it is says, right
yeah,
there.
I need. Yeah. Yeah. Pat says, yeah, I need story mode if I'll get this game or some kind of direction. I think that was important to sort of illustrate and to say like, hey, like this game will have something like that. So
yeah.
That I think is going to be key. They kind of bury this at the very end of the trailer. This is exciting to me. Event dives held regularly. So they're going to regularly do like special event dives where they will have like, you know, I'm imagining like the possibilities of like adding new fish to this game in the future.
Well, here's what Here's what I'm thinking. They're already kind of going a little into the weird area with these weird biometric signs and the glitchy effects. They've already specifically said that you'll be able to encounter mythical creatures in this game. Yep. So they're already kind of leaning in the direction of the weird and the supernatural. Dude, this is a Nintendo game. Have like a Lapras show up as part of this event dive. Have like Unguard from DK show up as part of an event dive or something like that. You want to talk about Endless Ocean and endless possibilities? Dude, that would get people, I think, much more interested in this game if you could dive down and register like a Goldeen or a Magikarp or something like that and run into, you know, run across, you know, a school of Sharpedo, or, you know, I mean, there's so many other Mario or Nintendo franchises out there that could very easily be worked into these event dives that Endless Ocean is talking about. If you're already leaning a little bit that way, just go a little bit further, Nintendo.
That'd be great. I would love to see them do. I don't think they're going
to. No, they're absolutely not. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying they should. I mean, the marketing, like, I look at it in the same vein as something like a Monster Hunter when Monster Hunter releases like, you know, the Rush costume the event quest where they release like the Akuma costume for your, you know, those were really cool and they got people in the game and they got extra interest generated in Monster Hunter. You had Street Fighter fans, you had Mega Man fans who became a little bit more interested in Monster Hunter because of that. If you've got Pokemon players who may have been a little disillusioned with the previous generation, maybe give them something interesting to do with water-based Pokemon, like an event dive featuring a ton of them. I'm just saying.
It'd be awesome. Nintendo. No, I'm with you. It would be great. Fully asks, is this a Nintendo exclusive game? Yes, it is. Yes. This is a Nintendo like published. This series started on the Nintendo Wii. And had two games there, and now it's returning after all this time on the Switch. So, very, very cool, man. And listen, we don't have long to wait. It's coming on May 2nd, like 2 weeks from today.
Or maybe we'll be playing. Maybe it'll be another random game where for some reason Godzilla pops up and for no reason.
Yeah, who knows, right? Who can say? Maybe we'll get an Endless Ocean Dave the Diver collab.
That would be kind of sick, actually. Like, you can register fish and all of a sudden, like, get to the surface and run into a weirdly photorealistic version of Dave the Diver that you can interact with.
Who knows, man? Well, a couple of real quick little headlines to hit here. We're running a little long, so let's hit some of these and say goodnight. We have a couple of little things to talk about still. First one, a little bit of sad news. Well, I say sad news. I'm not going to explicitly say this is sad, because this is probably a safety-related issue. Universal Studios Japan put out a tweet that, you know, is roughly translated by Google here, saying Donkey Kong Country, which was previously scheduled to open in spring 2024, has been changed to late 2024. We apologize for any inconvenience caused to those who have been waiting. We will announce the opening date and other details as soon as they are decided. The Donkey Kong Country sort of land was meant to be open already. They haven't gone into details on what happened. I assume they've bumped into some snags with this new technology that they're doing for the Donkey Kong like minecart ride. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be, the opening has been delayed to sometime in late 2024. So
yeah,
that's really all there is on that.
It is, but I'm hoping whatever lessons they learned or whatever issues they found don't translate to the American versions of the parks, or if they do, they're discovering workarounds for those that they can quickly implement into the American versions of the parks.
Yeah, I imagine that's the case. The American version of the park, the Orlando park, is supposed to open early next year. So we'll see. We'll see if that impacts anything, but you know, hopefully not. We have a couple of little PSAs here to hit on. First of all, Spring Fest in Splatoon 3, speaking of Splatoon 3, is happening this weekend. That's the chicks versus bunnies versus bear cubs. Yep. Splatfest. That is happening this weekend. There are people in the community playing, I'm sure, as we speak right now.
Yeah. I think they're all going Team Bear in the all-in community.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you want to join the Discord, you're more than welcome to. Free, friendly, welcoming community of people. Come on in. If you're a Splatoon player, we have some hardcore Splatoon players in the community. We've got a dedicated little, thread in there for people playing Splatoon. We have community gaming, roles and tags, and community gaming's happening all the time. So, join up in the Discord and play some Splatoon with the community this weekend. If you're a Splatoon fan, I don't think I'm going to play it. Personally, I don't think I'm going to have time, but
we'll see. I want to at least get in there and have a few matches. I mean, because it's Splatoon, it's a ton of fun. So, but
yeah, always a good time.
But this other little PSA I think is kind of hilarious, because every once in a while, Nintendo does these free video game trials, and we occasionally get some really, really cool additions. And I'm not saying that NBA 2K24 is not a cool free full game to try out, and Nintendo could certainly use a little bit more of an audience of sports simulators on the Nintendo Switch, but I do think it's hilarious that even in order to download this game, just to be aware, if you want to download NBA 2K24 and play it, which you can for free over the next week, you are going to need a lot of memory to do so.
Yeah, so the free trial period, NSO free game trial, they do this, you know, once a month or so. You can now play the game for free until the 23rd, but yes, they do issue the statement, attention, a micro SD card sold separately with free storage space of minimum 38 gigabytes is required to download this game, plus 8 gigabytes on the system memory. You must have your micro SD card inserted before beginning the download. So yes, you need to have quite a lot of storage capability in order to play this one. Just be aware of that.
That's even more. That's an even bigger file than Mortal Kombat 1 on Nintendo Switch. All I'm going to say about that. But so if you do want to play a little NBA 2K24, you can for free in its entirety, but just be aware of the spatial limitations.
Yep. Do be aware of that. Eric, before we wrap up, let's hit up some of the week's notable releases, shall we?
Yes, I think we should hit up a couple of the week's notable releases because we have a video up for a couple of them at least.
We do. Yeah, we have plenty of videos up. So we've already, you know, real quick, we already covered some of the shadow drops from this week, yes, being Stitch and Sticky Business. We also have videos up of the demo shadow drops. So Eric has a video up for the Anton Blast demo. I've got a video up for Europa and Cat Quest 3. So there is all of that on the channel that y'all can watch if you want to see these games in motion. If you don't, you know, want to play the demos yourself and you want to see our gameplay, you totally can. That's there on the channel. So shout outs to those demos. I will say, when it comes to videos that we've put up this week, there's a game that dropped actually just earlier today that you have a video for on the channel called Corn Kids 64.
Yeah, we dropped so many videos. We genuinely dropped, I think, like 3 hours worth of content today.
There's like 5 videos that hit the channel today. It's ridiculous. But yeah, this game, we've actually had this game for a while. So big thanks to the publisher Diplodocus Games. This is a really cool kind of N64 nostalgic throwback kind of game, but a very cool, like, you know, the style of the game is very like over the top 90s, but the gameplay is quite like demanding in a classic N64 sense,
kind of
in a way that I really dig.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, this is a low poly 3D platformer. And if anybody out there is kind of scratching their head saying Diplodocus Games, that does sound a little familiar. It's the same studio that helped bring us the Tori games from Siactro. So, but yeah, there is a video up for Corn Kid 64. We're actually watching a part of it right now, the very beginning of the game, where you kind of jump into the tutorial area where the goat that you play as, who has corn powers, immediately decides that they're having just some weird fever dream and decides to, you know, get out however possible. And it is just as bonkers as you might imagine, but I mean, the game is just like full on 90s to the point where your life bar literally is even like, you know, a legally distinct version of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's Mountain Dew. Yeah.
And Dream Soda says Dream Soda.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's I've played quite a lot of this game actually, and I really like it a lot. But it is like it is demanding. Like some of the stuff the game has you do later on. I think in your video you just kind of play a little bit of the first area. Later on in the game, it gets quite challenging. So do be aware of that. But it's neat. If you are looking for something that really harkens back to the Nintendo 64, this should be on your radar. Corn Kid 64, out now on the Nintendo Switch. Another video we put up separately from the demos was a video that people have been getting a kick out of that I put out. Thanks to our friends at Way Forward, we got Rose and Camellia Collection. And there's a video of me on the channel where, you know, a lot of times when we do these types of Let's Play style videos, we'll do it without cam on. For this one, the cam had to be on. We had to, you know, show the slaps happening in person. This is a kind of Punch-Out!-esque game that you play with either the Joy-Con motion controls to dodge, you know, incoming slaps and counterattack with slaps. And it is a like Victorian style slap battle game. And it's very funny and very good.
I mean, just watching you just kind of fling your Joy-Con back and forth as these two young, well-animated Victorian girls are just engaging in some weird over-the-top slap battle. It's so bonkers. I mean, I think we can all agree that the genre of Victorian slap battlers has become oversaturated on the Nintendo Switch in previous years. But I think this one's worth looking into.
Yeah. It's neat. It's funny, you know, and we'll have to see. I might need to stream this at some point. I had some people in the comments saying like, hey, yeah, you absolutely need to stream this. We want to see more. So very, very funny game. Rose and Camellia Collection, again, available now. Thank you to WayForward for sending that over our way. A couple of other things to point out just really quickly. There was a game that has been on Steam for a little bit that was actually shadow dropped during the Japanese Nintendo Direct called Exit 8.
Yep.
Which looks really neat. This is a, you're kind of like stuck in this liminal space, kind of like Japanese subway hall, looking for anomalies and little tiny differences in this kind of like low key, like horror experience. Looks kind of creepy and weird. It's also very inexpensive. I think it's like $3. So I definitely want to pick this one up and see what the deal is. This has like very, very like well reviewed on Steam. Like people love this game and, I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's these weird experiences, these weird, unique kind of puzzle games, but with like a horror thriller tinge to it. I've always been interested in. So hopefully I get the chance to check this one out too.
Yeah, looks kind of weird and creepy. So that's called Exit 8, and it is available on the American eShop as well. So it's not one of those where you have to like get into your Japanese eShop account and check that out. Okay, the other one that I'll show off here is Planet of Lana, which you know we kind of were hoping this would come to Switch.
I specifically said, I really hope this comes to Switch. I was really impressed with everything that I saw of it. And now here I am in a position where I may not be able to get to it anytime soon, which stinks. But yes, I am still glad that this game did come to Nintendo Switch. I mean, even if you're just looking at the video right now, it looks really stunning. It kind of reminds me a little bit of The Cub from Demagog Studios. Reminds me a little bit of Planet Alpha, a 2D physics-based platformer that I played, you know, several years ago on the Nintendo Switch. But, like, I don't know, man. It just looks really, really cool. And all the impressions that I saw of it from its time on Xbox just made me want to play it even more.
Yeah, this is one of those. Your Limbo, your Inside, your Planet Alpha, your kind of like 2D side scrolling physics based like puzzle stealth.
Yeah.
The world wants to kill you, you know, kind of game. So, this looks cool. I want to play this. I wish listed it. We'll see when we have time to actually get around to playing it, but that is available now on the Nintendo Switch. I think the last thing to shout out real quick is Grounded, which is the, you know, high profile Xbox game. The fully yoked edition of Grounded is now available on the Nintendo Switch. And from what I hear from people who have played it, you know, despite the fact that obviously there are massive visual concessions that needed to be made for the Nintendo Switch version, apparently the port itself is actually really good and solid.
Really, is it?
So
that was my biggest concern, is obviously coming from, because this was one of the Xbox, you know, previously Xbox exclusives that, you know, one of the games like, you know, Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush that was announced to finally be coming to other platforms. And that was kind of my biggest concern, is like, okay, the Nintendo Switch is not the Xbox Series X. You know, how are these games going to run? And that was my biggest concern was, yes, I know when a lot of multi-platform games wind up coming to Nintendo's handheld, that there are a lot of concessions that need to be made. And there are a lot of studios that don't really know how to balance those out. So it's nice to hear that this game apparently plays really well, despite the obvious concessions that were always going to need to be made.
It's one of those things where like, yeah, you know, like they had to, you know, pare down the visuals and stuff to make it run well. Yeah. But it sounds like it does, like the frame rate is good, the online and stuff. I think it has crossplay. Bows in the chat says it'd be cool to do a shared community server of Grounded, which would be great. That'd be super fun to get people together. I would be happy to play this. I've never played Grounded. I've always heard good things about it, and I'd like a chance to jump in. So very cool that we have this, and this kind of completes the two currently announced Nintendo Switch ports, anyway, of Xbox games. We got Pentiment already, yep. And now we have Grounded. So remains to be seen If Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush will end up coming over to Switch, we'll see. But we at least have this now. Both of those are on Nintendo Switch.
I mean, Hi-Fi Rush was rated, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was.
And very quickly, also this past week, a huge DLC update did come to Mortal Kombat 1. Ermac is back in the game, and a massive patch was dropped for all versions of the game, including the Nintendo Switch, changing up a lot of stuff in terms of the gameplay. Even there were a lot of characters that got new moves. Season 5 of Invasions, Season of Storms. So hopefully, in and amongst all of the new stuff that was added in the patch, were, again, hopefully, fixes and tweaks and, you know, bug eradications for the Nintendo Switch version. Just really hoping that that version of the game comes to some type of parity with the other version, because I really do enjoy MK1.
Nice. Very, very good. Yeah, people in the community already talking about Splatfest. So there are people already playing Splatfest in the community. Bowsett does point out, too, it is crossplay, and then the shared world can be played by anyone with permission at any time. So that's really cool. So yeah, I'd love to kick up a community server for Grounded if there's interest in the community. So really, really cool. Okay, well, I think that's it for the, you know, this kind of jam-packed news roundup this week, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a massive week. There's been a ton of excitement because of the Indie World Showcase. And you know what? We may not even be done talking about the Indie World Showcase. There's a ton of really interesting stuff that you guys can look forward to in tomorrow's episode, which we'll run down here in just a couple seconds. But before you leave, especially if you're watching us here on YouTube, before you go ahead and hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, go ahead and click that bell for notifications so you never miss another video from us here at All In. I mean, we dropped like 6 today alone, for heaven's sake. Yeah. So make sure you never miss any of the content that we are constantly putting out. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at All In Podcast, on Facebook at All In Podcast, because speaking of all that content, Seth, somehow we even find a way to produce exclusive content for our patrons.
We do. Patreon.com/All In Podcast is the place to be. Exclusive stuff goes up there all the time. Early access to things like our new show, Bit Harmony, which did the latest episode did go up for patrons.
It's a great shirt, by the way.
Just earlier today. Yeah. And so Patreon, great place to support the show. And yes, merch as well is a great way to support the show. I'm rocking my Bit Harmony shirt. You can go to allin.media, get yourself a shirt. Stickers are there too. I got my holographic Bit Harmony sticker as well in the mail today. So y'all can get, you know, stickers there too, hats, all kinds of stuff over there. Allin.media, great way to support the show. So we appreciate you for doing that. If you watch us on YouTube, yeah, your comments, your likes, your subs, very, very free and helpful way. But if you listen to us on your audio feed, 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice is also a great way to support the show entirely for free. So thank y'all for doing all that stuff.
Yes. For everybody who has done any of that, for all of you amazing, legendary patrons. And thank you again to Foolish Fuji for upgrading to the Triforce tier this past week. As a matter of fact, doing it live while we were doing episode 100 or 200, right? Rather, just 1 week ago, right now. Thank you so much for doing that. To everybody who has dropped words on whatever podcasting service you happen to follow our content on, for everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch at, I was about to say our old, again, whoever has picked up a piece of our merch, our new and improved merch store at allin.media, or for everybody and anybody who has even just shared our content across this vast internet of ours, to each and every one of you, we would like to extend a heartfelt namaste.
Namaste, everybody. That's been the news. Thanks for everybody for coming out. Thank you to Fulia, Bowza, Zavion, Pharaoh. Good to see you. Thanks for coming out. Pat was in the chat. Good to see you
Pat
as
was
well.
In the chat.
That's right. Thank you, everybody who came out tonight for the stream. Jam-packed news roundup tomorrow on a brand new episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast. Links to that are in the video description as well. We got a brand new episode dropping tomorrow where we are counting down our top 5 favorite picks from the Indie World Showcase, going into a little bit more detail on that. We're doing a retrospective on Super Mario Land for the Game Boy, which is celebrating its 35th anniversary very soon. And we have an exciting interview with Chris Totten, who just recently released a Game Boy game called Kudzu, and we're also going to talk to him a little bit about Little Nemo and the Nightmare Fiends as well. So huge episode dropping on your podcast feed tomorrow, And yeah, we'll see y'all there. Until next week, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. Bye.
See you in the Splatfest.